Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The psalm for this evening, Psalm 119, 57 through 64. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your just and righteous decrees. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading for this evening from 1 Samuel chapter 19. And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all of his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, "Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Therefore, be on your guard in the morning. Stay in the secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. And if I learn anything, I will tell you." And Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his deeds have brought good to you. For he took his life in his hand, and he struck down the Philistines. And the Lord worked a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by killing David without cause?" And Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan. Saul swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death." And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan reported to him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. And there was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a great blow, so that they fled before him. Then a harmful spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand. And David was playing the lyre. And Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear. But he eluded Saul so that he struck the spear into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you again for the boldness of your word living in us. And we pray, dear Father, that you would make us bold witnesses that will continue to confess Christ to all of those around us. Strengthen us now by the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scott's mother is a nurse, Diane, and it was a while ago she was in church and she had a t-shirt on, and on the front of the t-shirt it said "nurse" in big letters, and then at the bottom it said, "The next thing you see after you say, watch this." I wish I would have had someone say that to me, maybe something like, "That's a bad idea," before I've done a lot of things. In the reading for today, Saul has his son Jonathan before him and all of his servants, and Saul gives an order to his son and to the servants and says, "Go kill David." This is a long-standing rivalry between King Saul and David, a rivalry of jealousy on Saul's part. Not that David did anything here to arouse the king's anger, but Saul was so jealous of David and his popularity that every time he saw him, he tried to kill him. And even though David had the opportunities to take the king's life, he did not, because he would not lift up his hand against God's ruler over Israel. Saul is there and he wants to kill David. And it's almost as if Jonathan is standing there saying, "That's a bad idea." And then he began to talk to his dad. And he began to tell him all of the things that was going on, all of the things that had happened. Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father. And he advised his father not to sin against David. That was a very bold move for Jonathan to argue with his dad, not only his dad, but the king of Israel. And Jonathan would continue to bring up these things. It's almost as if Jonathan is catechizing his dad all over again, reminding him of these gifts that God has given, a friendship, and not sinning against this man. And Saul listened. Saul listened, and at the end of it, it says that the son's correction worked. Saul heard and relented from trying to kill David. Jonathan, in so many words, said to his dad, "That's a bad idea." And he continued to put the best construction on what was going on. He continued to remind Saul of all that David had done. David had gone into battle where the armies of Israel sat on the sidelines on their hands, worried about this 9-foot-tall guy from Gath named Goliath. And David stepped in and killed him, depending on his Lord, depending on our Lord for strength. Saul continued to try to keep peace in the land, and David was the one that would go out and win the victories. David continued to have this run of success, if you will, and Saul was jealous. But by Jonathan's words, Saul was able to put that aside and realize that he should not kill David. Now, if we ended the reading at verse 6, if we just stopped there, it'd be the perfect reading. The man, Saul, was out to kill him. He heard God's word. He repented. End of story. And they lived happily ever after. But that's not where it ends. It keeps going. If it ended in 6, it would be good. But remember, simul ustis et peccator. Simultaneously, saint and sinner, Saul, and us, at the same time, completely saint, hearing God's word, repenting of his sins, relenting from killing David, and at the same time, sinner, giving way to these thoughts and letting them control him. There was war again, and David went out to fight the war against the Philistines, and he struck them with a great blow so that they fled before him. And then a harmful spirit from the Lord came upon Saul. He fell into that trap of thinking about all these things. He began to fall into the trap of coveting. Coveting that relationship that David had with Israel. Coveting David's success. Coveting all of the people that looked at David as this great hero. And the coveting gave way to more sin. Jealousy. So much jealousy, in fact, that as Saul sat there, you can just see him sitting in his house, holding his spear in his hand, waiting for the opportunity if David moves just right to throw the spear across the room and pin David to the wall, which is a very nice way of saying he wanted to stab him and kill him and pin him to the wall. All that hate and anger building up in Saul, and all he wanted was death. All of that going on right after he had said, "I won't kill him." Swore an oath he wouldn't kill him. He coveted all of these things that David had, and that led to jealousy, and jealousy led to murder. Do you see what happens when our old sinful nature hijacks our thoughts? We can be having a great day, listening to your favorite music, singing praises to God, everything is fine, and someone cuts you off in traffic, and that quick, the switch is flipped, and now we're unhappy. And now we're not thinking pious and righteous thoughts. Now we're angry and we want to kill them and tear them down and do all of these things. It is so quick that we switch from completely saint, washed in the waters of baptism, covered in Christ's blood, forgiven all of our sins, to completely back in our old way of life that would murder and kill and steal and destroy. And that's what happened to Saul. Last week I was speaking to a counselor about how to help some people with some issues that they're going through, and the counselor said this. The counselor said, you have to give them things to distract them, to distract their thoughts. And I was thinking, what in the world? You know, like squirrel? Is that what we're trying to do here? And she said, no, you have to distract them from these evil thoughts that have grabbed a hold of them and draw them back to who they are in Christ. What great advice. She simply reminded us to remember our baptism, to remember who we are in Christ. Her advice to me to help this couple is simply to point them when they start thinking about things like the old Adam would, to draw them back to Christ, to draw them back to His Word, to remember who we are right there from the font, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a baptized and redeemed child of God who is completely forgiven, to draw them back to the promises that we have in God's Word by simply stopping and praying for the person that they are so upset with. Distracting ourselves when we get caught up into this trap is a great strategy to keep us who we are, Christ's. To remind us that's our home, that's our identity. That old nature is an evil foe that wants to come in and hijack us, if you will, pull us away from Christ and separate us forever. Some of the ways that we do that are really simple. Make the sign of the cross. Remember whose you are. If you know scripture verses by memory, just start reciting them, because remember, the evil one can't be where the light of Christ is. A number of years ago, Vonda and I had a house guest, and she was injured as she was staying with us. And while we were waiting for medical care for her broken leg, she began singing hymns. She couldn't remember, she was so frustrated, she couldn't remember the scripture verses to say them, but she could remember the hymns. And she began to do that to distract herself from all of the evil that was there, all of the hurt in her body. Sing the hymns, recite the scriptures you know, pray, remember your baptism. Remember that your old nature has been drowned right there in the waters of baptism, but He is a good swimmer. And He continues to want to crawl out of that water and to drown you in hate and anger. But your Savior is stronger than that. Your Savior, who died on the cross, won the victory for you, claimed you as His own, and in this world we will fight this fight of simul ustis et peccator all the days of our life, but one day soon, that day will come when our Lord will take us to be with Him, and that old nature will be gone completely, and you will be with Christ. No more sorrow, no more anger, no more flipping the switch and suddenly falling back into that old sinful person. One redeemed by Christ, living with Him in perfect holiness and righteousness. What a great day that will be. Live in your baptism, dear saints. Repent when you fall into sin and remember God's graciousness given to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.